Are we running short of chairs? I see some other officials are still standing. Okay, let's proceed with our meeting and then take a presentation from environmental programs. And after that, we then deal with the questions that, remember, we couldn't exhaust the questions because we had to break. We'll deal with the questions, finish that one, and then get to the other presentations. Okay? Matilda, you're going to have to run through the presentation.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. I'm going to be very brief. My colleagues here will take over and just... This presentation will provide a sense of what are we doing as an EP branch in relation to the presentation that my colleague Veronica made in the morning at a very operational level, so that progress is noted on the short-term measures and the long-term measures, and how are we dealing with the current contracts in place and new contracts. Besides the issue of the MCS, there was an Auditor General findings around the EPWP participants that are on the PERSA, that are doing business with government, and those that are not on the population register. So we've done a bit of groundwork in terms of trying to mitigate the findings that were given by the Auditor General going forward into this financial year. So what we initially did, we looked at the database that the Auditor General gave us of 2017-18 financial year participants, and we delivered about 71,945 work opportunities, and the participants that were on PERSAL, it was about 1,381. We engaged DPSA to try and understand what is the nature of their employment for them to be on PERSAL. So you'll see that about 955 of them are categorized as abnormal. When we're engaging with DPSA to say, what does this mean? It means these are participants where their salaries are not defined. So it was a big chunk of those participants identified by the Auditor General. We're doing this exercise so that we can understand how to approach this year's data. And 73 of them were on contract, 3 were part-time, 299 is periodical, 47 were permanent. So it's a small portion of those that are on permanent, and temporary it was about 4 of them. So in our discussion with DPSA, it was unraveled that majority of these are EPWP participants who were registered on PERSAL as EPWP participants. But we must further go and engage with these individual departments mentioned so that we can get clarity on their contract of employment. Then we looked at this financial year's data, quarter one and quarter two participants. And what we have identified in our engagements with DPSA is that about 353 of those participants, which is about 0.7% of our participants reported up to quarter two, are also on PERSAL. So now our next step is to write to all the departments that have been mentioned so that we can get a formal written confirmation in terms of what is the conditions of employment of these participants, because what we have picked up from last financial year, majority of them are EPWP participants, but we need a formal confirmation from this department. I don't know what happened with this slide as it was. I think it's a computer issue, but what does this slide tell us? What is it that we're trying to showcase here or to report here? In the Auditor General's report, about 848 of the participants were doing business with government. Now, we looked at the database of this financial year, and we found out that out of the 848, because we are implementing multi-year projects, about 250 of those participants that were on previous financial year's database are still appearing on our current database. So therefore, we need to go into detail now and go into individual cases and engage the departments that were identified by the Auditor General in terms of what was the contract, and understand everything that had to do with the business that they were doing with the department, and investigate if there's a measure to recuperate the money if these participants were indeed doing business with government, and their nature of involvement. This slide demonstrates in summary what I've indicated. Now, what is outstanding in terms of the actions that we need to take in terms of participants that are on CERSAL? We have to do a site verification of this participant and get their employment contracts, including discussions with the affected department. Also, that we need to start engaging with Department of Labor to use their labor center information instead of getting an unemployed participant from municipalities. It's better that we engage the Department of Labor centers to help us in terms of employment of participants at a local level. So we'll have to work on the database of unemployed from the Department of Labor. And I've also spoken to the participants that are doing business with government. We also have a category of participants that are on multiple projects, and we have identified those participants. We have now to go and verify, because DPSA couldn't indicate to us in terms of the duration of the different contracts. So we have to go and verify with the individual departments and the participants in identifying the duration of the individual contracts. Because in EPWP, a participant it's acceptable that a participant will get more than one employment opportunity. So we need to understand what is the duration of the first contract against the duration of the second contract where they are involved in multiple projects. The participants that are not on the population register were engaged Department of Home Affairs, and they are still finalizing their verification of helping us understand why these participants are not on the on the population register, as we did get validated report through Public Works that they are, that Home Affairs has accepted them as valid participants with valid ID numbers. Now, what are we doing in the long term? This slide speaks to the challenges we're having in our current system. So if you look at the green portion here, this is the value chain of the activities of our program. The current systems that we have in place only addresses project management, which is one component of the entire value stream. Now, we have a new project where we're developing the environmental programs management system that is going to ensure that the entire value stream of our program management is catered for. In April 2019, we will be delivering the first core part of our system, which will take care of the current implementation arrangement, the validation against the usage, and ensure that we align with the AG findings. So that's what we're going to deliver by April 2019. And from there, the extended functionality of the project, which is phase two, will start looking at the entire value chain of our program, and also including the norms and standards, strategic alignment of our activities with the departmental strategic plan, and also the GIS integration into our system. And this will deliver by September 2020. And then we'll then conclude with the advanced functionality in 2022, where we'll now be looking at how can we collaborate with the external partners in terms of the work we do through our system. So basically, that's the long-term plan in terms of how to integrate our information to ensure that we have all the checks and balances upfront. The other aspect that we have agreed on is that we will then do participant validation prior to contracting by NRM or EPIP, where we'll verify with PERSAL, where we'll verify whether they are not doing business with government and population register before EPIP or NRM can sign an employment contract with participant at the site level. Thank you. Then I'll hand over to my colleague chair, if it's allowed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the honourable members. Maybe just a brief of a background here. We were then asked by the DG to respond programmatically as to what is it that we're going to do given the audit findings that were talking to the two programs that we're implementing. Now, we had to introspect a lot, look at what would have been the cause or the root causes of the challenges, and we had to come up with an action plan. Just as some form of an outline, Honorable Chair, I will just summarize the findings that would have impacted in the program and then the audit intervention in a two-pronged approach where we are dealing with the current projects as well as the audit intervention for the future projects, which is some things that we are going to implement in the future. In summary, the findings were separated into two by ourselves. Non-disclosures in the departmental financials was one, as well as operational findings that talk to how do we operationalize the program. There was an issue with the bank balances that were not recorded as prepayments, irregular expenditure at the project level, not disclosed in the DIA financials, interest earned in projects not disclosed as additional revenue to DIA, unrelated costs such as marketing and others incurred at the project level are included in the infrastructure cost. Hence, earlier on, Veronica was talking about the attributable cost to the infrastructure development. Under operational findings, we were not having the planned property and equipment, or we were not declaring the WIP, which is work in progress. We were not disclosing it in the project financials. Supply chain management processes not followed at project level. As much as the department would have followed proper supply chain management processes, the challenge was with the implementing agents, what supply chain management processes are they following on the ground whenever they are procuring goods or services. Also, there was an issue of not having evidence that service providers were being rotated on the appointment processes. On the disclosure findings, we said, how are we going to improve with the current contracts that are current contracts that were issued before March 2018 that are already running? What is it that we can do so that we can avert the situation that we found ourselves in? We proposed that we are going to improve the monthly reporting with the project bank balances included, improve on the project audit template, which has been reviewed so that it can cater for plant, property and equipment, as well as work in progress, and all the other items that would have not been reflected in the past. All those would be consolidated by the service provider that would have been appointed, which is the principal auditor in this case, which is Deloitte, and also the issue of training of implementer and accountants, as well as the panel of auditors that would have been enlisted in our panels. On operational findings, Chair, we said the implementers should submit procurement planning as well as a report to us. Now, in assisting the SMMEs that we are dealing with in the EPWP program, we said we are going to develop the templates for them and such shall be complied to. We also looked at, as I said, we were introspecting. We also looked at what is the capacity that we have within ourselves as officials. Maybe we need a workshop, maybe we need training. So we opted for training and workshops that will workshop officials as well as the implementers. Also, in trying to manage projects very closely now, we said we're going to be visiting the projects and they will report, there will be admin inspections, because what has been lacking, there would be good implementation on the ground, as AG would have said, but the paperwork was what was missing within the SMMEs that we are using. So we said they were going to conduct quarterly admin inspections, whereby the project managers would have to sit down with the implementing agents as well as the accountant and administrators of that project so that they can get the paperwork in place. The quarterly procurement reports would have to be signed off by the implementing directorates, which is, in our case, we've got two, coastal as well as inland. So those directors have got a responsibility to ensure that those procurement plans as well as reports are approved by themselves so that they can verify
if everything is in order in terms of procurement. Any deviations would have to be proven in black and white. In many projects, moreover, in the Northern Cape, Limpopo, and Northwest, in the far-flung areas, implementers are moaning that there are no service providers. But in that process, if they need to then deviate, they need to follow the process as it is documented in the prescripts. We then said we are not going to make any payment should any process not be fair enough or show fairness in terms of what they would have followed in procuring the services. On the next slide, honorable members, what would be our approach midterm? Now, we discussed at length internally together with Central Finance as well as the colleagues in the program. We said we need to appoint auditors from the panel. We've got a panel that has been established through our supply chain management. We are going to audit each individual project using those auditors. When AG comes, then AG would come as an external auditor, but the groundwork would have been done. Now we had to come up with an action plan because this thing is supposed to be implemented as in yesterday. SAM workshop with EPIP officials, that is the officials that are implementing in the program. The responsibility was supply chain management, risk management, and internal audit. All those stakeholders were there on the 24th. We did have a workshop on supply chain management, where we're taking officials through, also taking the implementers, as well as their accountants and admin staff, as to how do they follow the procurement. We also looked at the templates for auditing. Now, we had to workshop their finance people or their accountants on the auditing template, as discussed with Deloitte or as well as Central Finance. That has happened on the 25th of October in 2018. Preparation and auditing midterm, we were saying in November, but based on discussions that we would have had with Central Finance as well as Deloitte, we said we are going to do a 9-month interim audit so that we can have then a roll forward for the next 3 months so that we can close the financial year. So that date, Chair, I didn't want to change it. It was on our plan, but based on the engagement, we thought it would be even better if we do the 9-month audit so that we can check where we are. And all those dates then, including the submission of such, it would be in January 2019. Chairperson, I don't want to waste a lot of time on this. It's something that I would have touched on. Now, coming to the new projects, that was covering only for the old projects. The new projects or the future in terms of the implementation of EPIP projects. We have different panels that we have established. That of contractors, the project management companies, the built environment professionals, as well as training service providers. Over and above this, we also established a panel that would look at occupational medical practitioners, occupational medical practitioners. Those are the people that we are going to use to do the entry as well as exit tests on our participants. Service providers are to be appointed using a quotation system. That is the future now, whereby we are being fair to everyone that is on those databases or on those panels. We are going to give them specifications per project. Infrastructure project will be designed also by the built environmental professionals coming from the panel. And construction work, because AG would have raised the issue about the grading of the contractors. Construction work shall be done by the CIDB graded companies based on the thresholds as enlisted in the CIDB. Accredited training shall be done also by the accredited service providers. We confirmed this through the CITES in the databases. And we went an extra mile, Chair and honorable members, that we're going to then use the post bank to basically disburse the EPWP wages to the participants, trying to reduce the risk of transferring money to service providers, money of which they might not need, because it's money that is meant really to pay the participants on the ground. Given the approach, Chair, it compels us then to use what the industry uses, because We are for building contracts, for instance, we are going to use the JBCC, General Conditions of Contract, GCC. It will depend on the type and nature of the project that we'll be having at hand. Chair, we said no advance payment shall be made, at least from our projects now, because we have realized that AG has raised the issue and it becomes a risk to us. On the next slide,
you know, I I know that we asked for this details, but we have got difficulty in terms of time. Yeah, I see. She provided sort of the broad overview. Now you are getting into the details which we want, but unfortunately we do not have enough time, and we have got four more presentation, and we have not even dealt with this one. So I am going to suggest that maybe we leave it at this point, and then we ask members have got copies of the presentation, so if there's something that they need to be clarified. Look, we have got serious difficulties about the congestion. I'm not sure whether we'll do everything that is on the program today. We've got source, quarterly reports, we've got sand parks, we've got presentation of industry waste plan, and we still have to adopt our own report. So I want to come up with a suggestion. I don't know whether it's going to be acceptable to everybody. Tomorrow, we were supposed to have a briefing from the acting minister on some outstanding issues regarding source. Now, the minister is not around. He's overseas attending a conference there. So we were going to cancel tomorrow's meeting, because we can't proceed with that meeting if the minister is not around. Now, we have got an option to finish everything else that is on the program today, or reschedule some of them for tomorrow. Now, I know that you have made traveling plans, accommodation plans, and so forth. So I'm not sure whether you will be comfortable if we move two items to tomorrow, if we move source and send packs, quarterly reports, or if we move the industry waste plans for tomorrow. Now, I just want to check chair or source. I know you guys are not full-time in the organization. You have got your own plans about you've already finalized your diary. I just want to check if is it possible that you can come tomorrow and Comrade Dexter and the rest of the team. The other officials can reschedule, it's not a problem. If you are available tomorrow, we can release you now, so that you don't have to sit throughout the rest of the discussion, and then you can come back tomorrow. We can start either 9:30 or 10:00. And then St. Parks, who is the board member present? Oh, yeah. Let me start with the source. Chair, do you think we can make it tomorrow, or you want us to finish today? So you won't be able to make it.
I apologize, Chair, but if you could accommodate us to today, we'd really appreciate it.
Okay, including yourself, Deputy Chair. You are not available tomorrow.
No, I'm available, Chair, but I'm the deputy chair. This is the chair.
Yeah. No, if one of you is available, we can take it.
Okay.
St. Parks.
Chair, I'm available. I'm based in Cape Town, but the challenge is, of course, with the CEO and the CFO, the availability.
Yeah.
And they're traveling. So maybe if the CEO could just say, I think you have a long-standing engagement.
Yes. Traveling arrangements can be changed.
Afternoon, Chair, and honorable members. We happened to be here last night, but we'll address that with the department. Chair, it's a personal issue for me. It's a doctor's appointment tomorrow. It's only time I have 10 o'clock. As a result, I plan to travel back today because I didn't know when we're coming yesterday. Mm-hmm. But we're going to fly early tomorrow, 6 o'clock, so that I can make my 10 o'clock appointment, Chairperson.
Okay. Members, proposals, or you are ready, you can be here until 10, because it looks like we are going to be here maybe around 10 or maybe beyond 10. I must tell you, I'm very exhausted. I came this morning on a 5:30 flight from Johannesburg. So meaning that I had to wake up at 3 a.m. But it's fine, we can continue. Honorable Kekan.
Okay, thanks very much. Mine, if you can, base on time to finish all, it can be better if you base on time to give them 30:30, or we are still have time until 8:30. Thanks, it's okay. My suggestion.
Okay. Honorable Makube. There's a lot of democracy here, you see. We're very democratic. We want everybody to give inputs.
Chair, the deadline for concluding this meeting should be 8 o'clock. Beyond 8, it will mean other logistical arrangements which may impact on us. I'm not sure if that will happen, but we can look at that. I had thought that you were trying to look at the items, almost all of them, and see who's available, who's not. And I thought that with source, the compromise was that we can do with one of the chairpersons. So I thought that is taken. But I was not sure with the industry waste plans whether we can have that tomorrow. If that happens, we could look at what is doable today and then have the others tomorrow so that we don't just do it for formality, disorganize ourselves and everybody else and not receive input or these presentations.
Okay.
And engage them in a manner that will serve the people.
All right. Okay. I think let's proceed. We will see how far we go. I didn't want us to rush through the issues because we're not going to do justice. We need to interrogate these reports because that's the reason why we asked for them to be here. But it's fine. Thank you very much. My apologies to have to stop you there. But I think we've got a sense of the kind of preparations that are there. I think the issue is for us to be satisfied that the department is responding to the issues raised by the Auditor General. has prepared an action plan and there is a turnaround strategy. And there is a clear path that you will follow in terms of transitioning, because this is a transitional issue, to comply with the modified cash standards, to treat these issues as goods and services, which is a big problem from what the CFO was explaining the last time. We said it's a big problem, but it's something that must be done. It's a change, necessary change that is required. So that's the sense that we wanted to get. We'll get into the details if it's necessary. So I will ask members to check if there is some questions on the turnaround strategy and the action plan. Let's engage with that. If the members are happy also, they must just indicate that we are fine. Dr. Liang.
Thank you, Chair. In the interest of time, Chairperson, I will just talk to few of the aspects that I wanted to raise on the improvements that have been spoken to. The appointed panel of auditors by the department. You know, I'm failing to understand, but what is the department? Is the department now changed to be a consultant to appoint auditors? Is there no internal audit in the department? You outsource the function that should be resonating in the department. It's funny. Secondly, Chair, this EPWP, you don't understand as whether it is a program or it is a project. If it is a program, there are projects within it. Do you have starting and ending times for such projects? And how this is being managed? You know, you come across these people in the rural areas there, where I come from. These people are earning peanuts. I don't know whether it's remuneration or it's wages or what. But if you say it's wages, it was reported that they are wages. You talk of wages at the level of a department. You deal with people, you treat people in that fashion. The labor laws are speaking very loud about the manner in which these black people that are there, because it is only for the black people. The poor is the poorest of the poor. Do you regard this as a form of job creation? Yeah, it is not on this thing. I really don't belong into a school of thought that says our own people should be regarded as being employed. If you give those people 700 rands and you take 50 rands for someone who is administering them at that level, you find them in Umtata sleeping outside on a rainy day. I mean, that is why, Chairperson, you cannot locate a proper accounting method by the department in this. This EPWP thing, it is just dropped to a certain municipality, and in that municipality, it is treated like a project of individuals, of councillors, where those councillors will choose their own people. It is not right, this thing. It undermines the intention of government, that of creating jobs. No, Chairperson is quite correct by making all these findings. And I can listen to this eloquent presentation of a turnaround strategy. Turnaround is just a ploy to make things as to be seen as if they are happening. But this is not on, it is not part of job creation, it is not managed appropriately, it is part of looting. That's, I believe, that's it. In the manner it is happening. This is only environment. Also in other departments, your public works and all of them, this is just a project that divides our own people. The High Councillor, we have 80 councillors, each councillor must bring 5 people. They phone their own friends in Durban whilst they are here in Cape Town. They come and work there. And some of them, they are calling Otambalala, where you are always sleeping on your stomach, and you look for a car that is coming. Say, hey, that one might be coming from Bisho or Pretoria. Then you wake up as if you are working. That is what is happening in the rural areas that I'm coming from. It is unfortunate. It is not even helping even to engage on these aspects that deals with the financial management of this, when it is this useless on the ground, and then finances cannot be managed appropriately, it is not on. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any other member? Okay, is that the only comment? Honorable Makube.
Chair, thanks. Firstly, is just to understand whether the request that was done, I think Veronica indicated that you requested Treasury not to submit the mid-term financials. You will do it by the end of November.
Yes.
Just to understand whether that was official or formally granted, or there are issues there. So that just for us to know.
They say verbal, nothing in writing yet, in terms of the report, yeah.
So it's not like there's agreement. But all I want to know is whether...
Okay, if there's any disagreement, yeah.
Yes, so that we know that we are sitting with a particular problem.
Okay.
The second issue, Chair, on the Green Fund, which is being managed by DBSA, the indication by the CFO was that at times this money gets loaned to people. I thought it's money meant for projects and not necessarily for loaning other people in the process. What was happening in your own dealings with them? Did you allow them to loan this money to other individuals or companies that may be running projects, even if they're in line, but for money making? Or what was happening? The last point, Chair, in terms of consequence management, the indication is that there will be disciplinary processes that will unfold later on, or some penalties that will happen in the event other officials have done wrong and so on and so on, perhaps deliberately or whatever the case may be. All I'm saying on that one, Chair, is that we'll have an interest to understand what will have happened. Because my take, Chair, is that initially this was made to be a very difficult exercise to conform or to comply with what the template or the standard requires of the department. But all of a sudden, there's quite a lot of work that is being done for turnaround. And the indication as well is that some things are doable. Is there, which begs the question, what was the resistance all about? If all of this can all be done, it's easy to engage on and so on, as you are now indicating.
Okay.
But there was resistance. Thanks.
Okay. Those are the questions. Can I just find out, you know, because the EPW, this environmental programs, it's one program that is feeding into employment creation objective of government. So now I see there's a more emphasis now on appointment of contractors, this and that. I'm a little bit worried that element will be diluted of having to maximize employment creation and get more people working there. because even the salary structure is not the same as a normal employment. So as you move from this system to the other, I think we must just get some comfort that you are not going to compromise that, because otherwise it's just going to be a normal project management, implementation of project, and it's not going to be the EPWP as originally intended. So that is that. Now, the issue of consequence management did not come up very clear. I think the statement was that there is in future there will be disciplinary action, as if it's going to be a new thing. It was not happening before, because this is a matter that was emphasized by the AG, and I didn't pick it up quite clearly as to exactly how is it going to be managed. If I can get some clarification on that one. Okay, so where do we start with the CFO?
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll actually answer the ones that are related to the financials. Let me start with the loans made by DBSA. Perhaps I'll start by saying that this is linked to the green economy projects and how the funds flowed to DBSA, because DBSA is a bank. And as a bank, they are in a position to make loans, collect them over, you know, like time. A department cannot make loans because PFMA doesn't allow us to do loans. So it's not loans to people, but they are actually managed, you know, in the ambit of the banking system. And DBSA has got also, you know, like the Jobs Fund and all other funds that come from other departments. And I want to believe that that's how this fund landed there. So also, how the department actually monitors. The department has got an executive committee that sits in DBSA to direct DBSA of what, you know, like a project that contributes to a green economy would look like. Because that's what DBA said. Say, yes, we can manage your fund as a bank, but we are also not very, you know, like familiar with a green economy initiative. This fund started, I think, a while ago. I think it was around about 2012, Veronica. And initially, we put a lot of money into DBSA. The initial funding was about 520 million, or was it over? About 300 million. So it has been running over the years. And so we can take DBSA as a bank that knows who to give money to, that knows how to do the feasibility study, that knows how to actually crowd investments around this. So that's how it landed there. And it was appropriated by Treasury like that. So what the AG is asking us is just account for that revenue, expenditure, and assets and liabilities. And why did the AG say that? Now it leads me to the why is it doable now? Perhaps let me start with why was it not doable. If you can remember, Chair, modified care standards actually started in 2014-15. At that point, there was also the discussion. And then, if I go back, at one stage we got deviation to the process because of these EPIPs or EPWP projects, the accounting, around about 2014. Then from there, we had a first position paper, which was confirming that these are transfers. So there hasn't been a reluctance from the department that says we're not going to account. So the second position paper was saying these are transfers and subsidies. Then we came with a third OAG, which said these are goods and services. But in all these 3 or 4 years, The Auditor General has been saying this is principal agent. So there have been different interpretations of the modified care standard. So there hasn't been that. So we've always been complying with the position papers from the Accountant General. Then the Auditor General will come and say, we want you to account like this. So there hasn't been that resistance. Why is it doable now? If you look at the 80s presentation, I think that is page... So the AG has changed as well. If you look at the AG's presentation that they did last week or when they said adverse opinion after all this. So we had an adverse opinion for 2016-17. It's only that we didn't table the annual report because we're still in this discussion. So the AG now came and presented a second adverse opinion. So the AG has changed from principal agent. The AG said implementing agent accounting. So that was page 13. So that's why it is doable now, because it says the implementing agent is transacting with third parties, whereas before, under principal agent, the AG was saying you must account as though you are transacting with the EPIP people, which means in my books I would have to include the wages that Dr. Luyeng is talking about. Or actually, it's not wages, it's stipend, Dr. Luyeng. It's not that perhaps generically we call them wages. It's stipend. Because you are right, EPWP people are not earning wages. They are earning stipends. But they are being trained to be able to do some work, lay bricks or carpenting or do whatever in the future. So it's a stipend. So now I looked at this and I said, okay, it looks like now we can account. Because it doesn't mean I must take those people's names and addresses and whatever and put them in my personal system. It doesn't mean I must take their boots, their overalls and whatever and put them as my goods and services. So now I think that's why we gave it a try. So that page 13, you'll be able to see the difference. It says the implementer is actually transacting with the beneficiaries of EPWP, and the implementer is the one that is exposed to transactional risk. Before, it was me who was going to be exposed to that transaction, because I wouldn't be able to take all these people in South Africa and put, you know, like all their equipment or whatever that they are using to cut the grasses or whatever in my books. So that discussion then had to go on since 2014. That's why I say perhaps we missed the opportunity for the 2016-17, because the minister said, no, I'm not tabling the annual report. But historically, it starts from 2014. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. All right, thank you. who comes next? All right.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions. I think the question on EPWP, whether it's a project or it's a program, according to its conceptualization at the Growth and Development Summit, it was conceptualized as a government program, nationwide government program that is designed to provide a safety net in ensuring that the unemployed, unskilled people get access to employment opportunities and skills transfer. Initially, in the first phase, if we can go back to how the first phase was designed, it was saying for every 22 days of work, of work experience, we need to provide 2 days of training. And it was also talking about providing exit opportunities. And our lessons from then was that based on the structural unemployment challenges we are facing as a country, it's very complex and difficult for a program such as Expanded Public Works Program to be able to exit people because there are no employment opportunities in the formal economy. In phase two and phase three, the clause was removed, and it was saying it will provide employment opportunities, short to medium term employment opportunities for the poor and unskilled. So that was the design of the program. Now, we must acknowledge the fact that because the program is implemented across all spheres of government, it's a big program to manage. But then Department of Environmental Affairs took an initiative to develop recruitment guidelines so that it's very clear and transparent on how we're going to recruit participants. In this financial year, Public Works launched their recruitment guidelines on EPWP. So that guides how EPWP will identify participants in a transparent manner within a specific geographic location where we're implementing the project or investing in project implementation, so that we can empower the communities residing where we're providing assets and services. The Expanded Public Works Program is guided by the ministerial determination on EPWP, but Matilda, it's not precluded from the basic conditions of employment.
Don't take us through a lecture of EPWP. That one we know. Yeah. What was the question? The question was whether is this new approach, is it not going to dilute that approach? Yeah. Don't get deep into it because we don't have time. If we need to get into how is it designed and all of that, we can always call for a briefing around that.
Thanks, Mr. President. The question is very valid. Initially, we used to use just project management companies without the CITB rating. But based on the challenges that we would have had and the AG as well, we then had no option but to go for CITB-graded companies. But we remain very objective, Chairperson, because your B component is what counts most, even in those companies. But over and above that, we've got contracts that would basically force those contractors to basically subcontract the people that are in the community.
Sorry,
as
sir.
Well.
May you use his own mic, because it's been recorded and the public wants to hear as well what we're talking about.
My apologies, Honorable McCrell. I was trying to basically clarify as to how do we best manage then the subcontracting part, how do we then force these companies, because for construction purposes we need the CIDB graded companies, and the grading works within the scope of the project as well as the budget of the project. For instance, you would have the projects that would have CIDB grading level 6, there will be a threshold of projects that they can do. There will be CITB grading level 1 and 2. Those will be the smaller amounts that you would have. But just to extend it further, so Chair, we're not going to lose the objectives of the program, which is that of employment. Even those contracts would have the employment targets for the people that are in the localities. But as EPIP, Chair, and as we are developing infrastructure, it becomes too expensive. We had to then be innovative and have some programs that would also massify employment, which would be softer. For instance, if you were to look at the projects such as your Working for the Coast, where we are cleaning the coastline, rehabilitating the coastline, there we use your labor-intensive methodology so that we can employ as many people as possible. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, you want to come?
Chair, I think I should just add, and it's just one point, part of the performance monitoring of the implementing entities, employment is one of their deliverables. So employment is effectively, person days of employment is effectively a deliverable against the contract.
Okay.
So it's definitely a core deliverable by the implementing entities.
Okay. You want to come back?
Thanks, Chair, and apologies. One of the greatest innovations, I'm reminded just yesterday, we had students graduating and handed over certificates through UNISA. We try and form partnerships so that we can give our participants something that is tangible, that can take them to further their studies or to get better chances when it comes to employment. So we are also focusing on accredited training services, and hence I was talking about the panel of accredited training service providers. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. All right. I think we should be fine. You want to talk to what? Consequence management.
Chairperson, thank you. Yes, I want to talk to the, firstly, to our extension that was given for our submission of the...
Okay, yeah.
We did request, we did write to Treasury, and we also talked to them verbally, so they agreed to it. We're just waiting for their correspondence in this regard, because they agreed verbally, but we expect from them a written approval. And as soon as we have done with this meeting, as you accept our turnaround strategy, we are going to finalize our interim financials so that we can submit it earlier than the 30th of November. When we look at the consequence management, that was actually meant in two ways. Because the one is to discipline, to have it, that we discipline our employees if we don't adhere or comply to our prescripts and policies, like in the supply chain management and those kind of disciplinary actions, and also with our implementing agents, that we have a clause within their contracts that if they don't comply with what we request from them on the project, that there's some disciplinary action or action that we don't go on with a project or don't provide them with the funding further if they don't comply at that stage, because we put in now into place a lot of the financial statements that they must comply with the information that we need to put in our financials. So okay. That is why we put that into.
Yeah, the reason why I raised that issue is the fact that I think it's been approached in a very casual way. And this is one area where I think we need to be, to take a strong stance that year in, year out, the AG reports on this irregular expenditure, reports on non-compliance with legislation, reports that people are not following the SCM processes, and nothing has been done about that. And we become just very casual. No, something is going to be done, maybe DC here and there. And I'm saying that you must revise your plan so that we need to understand if there has been a regular expenditure, the people responsible has to be reported on to this committee, so that we understand who has been responsible for what and what action has been taken on those people and what is the amount that has been involved in that. Because these things have been raised by the Auditor General. And I can tell you we had a meeting with the Auditor General last week in the committee of all the chairs in Parliament here. And that's one of the things that Mr. McQuaid was emphasizing, that in fact the irregular expenditure of the entirety of government has grown 100%. And one of the things that you are saying is that there is no consequence for actions for people who are doing wrong things, who are not doing anything about it. There is a bill that we have approved of the Auditor General where he will be empowered to do certain things for people who have been involved. So I'm saying that we need to treat it differently than the way we are treating it. So next time when we report on this, we need to get the details of what has happened, who was involved, what level is it going. Does it even go to the level of the accounting officer? Because if something gets signed off by whoever in the system, that person must satisfy himself or herself that that is done in terms of in line with what the requirements are. The other issues, I think some are comments, some are questions which you answered, but I want to repeat that the main objective of having to request this turnaround strategy and the action plan is to make sure that you attend to all the issues that are raised by the Auditor General. We can't have two successive adverse audit findings and nothing has been done about that. You will all remember that when we dealt with the Auditor General's report, with your annual report, we took a very strong stance against what is happening in the department. Because we know even in the last financial year there was non-tabling of the report, but we asked for the exception report from the Auditor General and he did tell us that you receive an adverse audit opinion. Because even if the department did not table, we made sure that we asked that in terms of the requirements of the PFMA, and we did get that report. So we are aware of what has been happening in the department. So all what we are saying is that let's change the situation. DIA used to receive clean audits. Now, it was from clean to adverse, which was quite a significant movement. It was a big regression in terms of the audit outcomes, and we must do something about that. That's all what we are saying. We would like that we must be presented with the progress report, as Honorable Makubela was saying, and where you pick up issues of irregular expenditure, non-compliance, we would want to get the details. Because at some point, people must be held responsible and accountable. I think some of the things are just comments. I think the fact that you are doing something about it, you are responding, you are developing plans, for me it's a good sign that something has been done to attend to these issues, and we appreciate that. So next time when you come to present the quarterly reports, you'll just report on that one. We hope that when you submit finally, when you close the books next March, end of March, and you prepare the financial statements, at least you're going to get a better outcome. I think that brings us to the end of this discussion with the DIA on the turnaround and the action plan. We would like to thank you very much for coming. If you can implement the plan as it is, the turnaround strategy, I think you can improve the situation. But I must advise that please have regular meetings with the Office of the Accountant General. They are the ones who produce the position paper on this modified cash standard. They will take you through, they will hold your hands, they will help you to improve the situation. Okay? Thank you very much. Can we get to the next presentation, which is source. I think what we'll do, we'll just allow you to present, and then after you, we'll ask SANParks to present, and then we'll discuss the two presentations at once in the interest of time. It's the quarterly report, so I don't think you need 30 minutes. You can do it in 20 minutes or so. Chair?
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for accommodating us. I'm not going to take too much time. I'll just introduce the team that's going to make the presentation. Firstly, I'm here with the Deputy Chair, as we have already noted, and the Acting CEO, Nigeli Ndabambi, will do the presentation, followed by Sibusisiwe Shongwe, who is the CFO, and we have with us Tsepo Ngobeni, who is the Acting Executive for Weather and Climate Services. So they will make the presentations and we'll take the questions as they come. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Who's going to make? Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
You know the you know the drill here. Focus on the areas where you have not achieved, but at the end, just give us the highlights.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you, Chair. We are presenting quarter one and quarter two reports, Chair. And then when we were told that we will also present quarter two, we sort of incorporated quarter one within the quarter two presentation so that you can see them at the same time and you can also see the progression. So it will be just a summary, Chair, and then it will be the performance against the strategic goals and objectives, and then the financial performance. Chair, in quarter one, we achieved 59%.
Just to interrupt you a bit, there is food, so if anybody feels that he or she needs to grab something there, just go and grab food and eat. Let's not disrupt the meeting. Okay, you can continue.
Thank you, Chair. In quarter one, we achieved 59%, and then in quarter two, 79%, Chair. When I talk to partial and non-achievements, I will indicate the reasons, Chair. The next time. Then for strategic goal one, Chair, I will just go to the partial achieved and non-achieved. So can you move to the next slide, Sepo? For the target of sector-specific products provided, we are partially achieved there, Chair. We could only achieve one aviation project. It's an aviation research demonstration project. It's like piloting. It's a technology that has been stolen from the World Meteorological Organization. But as per the recovery plans, we are going to recover, Chair. The next one, under strategic goal two, Chair. Under strategic goal two, we've got a target of the radar at 85%. Which provides our early warnings, more especially for severe thunderstorms and flash flooding and storm winds. We have not achieved in quarter two, Chair. We are only at 74%, Chair. We have conducted the original equipment manufacturers to also assist in this project, but the main problems were related to ICT communications, which is a computer called a Rainbow Workstation. And the next one, Chair, is the Lightning Detection Network, a 90% target. In quarter one, we did not achieve. We're only at 88%, Chair. We had some challenges with communication between the head office and the sensor, Chair. But we managed to recover in quarter two. We are at 92.69%, Chair. And then the next one, Chair, is the availability of a global atmospheric watch data, which are the greenhouse gases that are used to monitor the changes in the climate change. Both in quarter one and quarter two, we have not achieved, Chair. The main reason being the aging infrastructure, Chair, which led us to developing a business case so that we can address it life cycle, because we have not been investing in this infrastructure. We have developed that business case, Chair. That's why we are alluding to the supply chain processes as well, because we had to change the course during the course of the year. So we've got the recovery plan, Chair. We will recover in this regard, and we will monitor our greenhouse gases. And then the next one, Chair, the target is related to human capital. It's implementation of a career pathing program. We targeted meteorological technicians, which are looking after our network and observing the data, and also the engineers, which are maintaining the infrastructure, including radar, lightning detection network, and weather stations, Chair. We could not achieve in quarter one, Chair. We were busy with the process, and then the time was not with us, but we managed to catch up, and we have achieved in quarter two, Chair. And then the next one, Chair, is around the development of integrated talent framework. development, also of the human capital resource strategy. We could not achieve, we're behind in quota one, Chair. We managed to catch up in quota two, Chairperson. And the next one, Chair, which was not achieved in quota one, was implementing two transformation programs, whereby we were also behind, Chair, but we managed to catch up in quota two, Chair. And then the next one, Chair, is the target on the National Education Plan, which is looking at the required skills nationally, which can service a National Meteorological Service. We could not achieve in quota one, Chair. We achieved in quota two. And also to make sure this program, because it's a foundation of taking forward our strategic strategy, with the board, we also identified a need to reserve 2.2 million in the coming financial year, Chair. So we have achieved and we will maintain, Chairperson. And then the next one, it was partially achieved in quarter one. It was around using the land. We've got land in Waterkloof. It's 32 hectares, Chair. The usable portion is 17 hectares. So we are intending to build our head office there. The project has already been registered with the National Treasury, Chair. But we really don't have the budget for this project. That's why we could not achieve. And we will not achieve this financial year, Chair. We are intending to put some budget in moving forward. And then in the strategic goal, Chair, which is related to engage stakeholders, the one is related to implementation of communications-related programs, which has not been achieved in both quarters, Chair. But in quarter two, we've got the communication plan developed, and also we have got a plan that it will be approved in quarter three, Chair. And we have just also recruited in this area. That was one of the challenges, Chair. And then the next one, Chair, is related to the rand value of advertising value equivalent, whereby it's part of positioning of the organization and also making sure that the products and services are understood, because sometimes they are not used appropriately due to misinterpretation, and sometimes they reach the targeted audience late, Chair. We didn't achieve in quarter one, Chair, but we have achieved the target of 80 million in quarter two. We exceeded by just over 83 million, Chair. The next one, Chair, is also still on stakeholders. Building towards a stakeholder satisfaction rating. We intended to implement a two community program in line with our stakeholder plan, Chair. Even here, we did not achieve in quarter one. We had to recruit, Chair. And then we have achieved in quarter two. And then the next one, Chair, is related to ISO certification. We are certified and we've got a totally quality management system. That TQM is related to that. And then we want to integrate, we want to have an integration framework, which is that intent we started this financial year, Chair, between the OSHA, the SHEC, and the Total Quality Management System, Chair. So we have not achieved, Chair, but because we were redirecting again, trying to integrate our efforts, we have just completed that, Chair. So we'll start achieving in quarter three, and it will be more efficient from quarter three onwards, Chair. The strategic goal for, Chair, research and knowledge intelligence creation, most of the targets have been achieved here, Chair, actually all the targets, Chair. And then a strategic goal five, growth and sustainability. Here, Chair, it was indicator based on the parliamentary grant funding for the South African Air Quality Information System. This target was challenged there because there was a reduction in the allocation, Chair. So it was not achieved for both quarters, Chair. And then the next one is growth in commercial revenue, Chair, target of 8.25 million. we only achieved 7.35 million in quarter one, Chair, and then also only achieved 2.77 million in quarter two, Chair. We also have support with the municipalities, Chair, which also decrease. We sort of have agreements with them, and then we provide services to enhance their network, but this time we could not achieve, Chair. And then, Chair, I'm going to hand over to the CFO to talk to the financial report. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and evening members. With regard to the financials for cumulative year-to-date as end of September, for revenue we have we are above budget by 2.1, and this one is mainly due to we had air quality equipment that we sold to the municipalities. That's where most our we had a 3 million there that was not budgeted for. However, when we look at the aviation revenue, we are below budget by 1.4. And this is mostly due to the volumes being below what we originally budgeted for. And then under expenditure, we are under budget by 34.6 million. And this is mainly due to the training. We haven't spent all the training and bursaries, and this is due to them being seasonal. We will be spending them in the fourth quarter. And repairs and maintenance, there were some delays in deliveries of some goods, and that's why we haven't spent. We are anticipating that by the end of the financial year, we will not have any under expenditure. We will be spending everything. Yeah, next. Chair, the next two slides, this is just an indication of the sources of revenue. That's the government grants and commercial and non-regulated. That's just a comparison to what was budgeted for. And the next slide, Chair, is just the compensation of is the expenditure for compensation of employees. We are 1.1% below budget. Okay, next slide, Chair. The next slide, this is just the balance sheet. Of importance here is in terms of our receivables. They have slightly reduced, and this is mostly we started really following up on with our debtors. And then on the cash and cash equivalents, we are 134 in the bank account, and this is directly related to the under spending because we couldn't spend all the money, hence we have all the money. Thank you, Chair. I think that's the summary of the finances.
All right, thank you very much. Can we take quickly St. Parks? Yes, agreed. We will then get into the discussion.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, Honourable Members. We will be presenting the first and second quarter reports. I am accompanied by the CEO and the CFO of Sandparks, and they will take us through the presentation, and we will do it as the committee has requested and focus on those areas where we have not achieved our targets in terms of performance. Thanks.
Yeah, I must say we did receive an apology from the chair, Ms. Joanne, that she's not able to come. She's booked to undergo a medical procedure. That's name is here. So, okay, Fundi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I will focus on the non-achieved ones. If we can go to the next slide, slide 9, the red ones. Next slide, slide 9.
Okay, speak to the dashboard first and then take us through everything.
Or the dashboard chair is determined by performance and on the energy chain, honorable members, you can see in the second quarter, we were below our target of reducing energy consumption, but quarter two, you will see an improvement. This is due to the solar farm at Lower Sabians, Kukuza, which is operating because we are trying to operate off the grid. But the plan over the next 5 years want to make sure that our parks are solarized and so some wind energy to reduce our footprint. The next one, Chairperson, Honourable Members, is around the water consumption. You can see the first quarter and second quarter, we are still red. This is due to non-compliance with our awareness water saving campaign. This is more especially in Kruger National Park. At the same time, it's due to the high level of occupancy. But we are even want to attempt now to collect the water from the rain moving forward. The next one, honourable members, is around the follow-up in terms of alien clearing and rehabilitation. Quarter one was red. We were 24% under. There's a slight improvement in quarter two. This area, this is due to recruitment of contractors. When we did the first round, communities complained that the process was not fair. Therefore, we had to redo the whole ISO recruitment. That's why we're yellow there. That's why there was a slow start again. It was in Kruger National Park. On the wetlands, honorable members, the delay there is around the issues of signing MOUs and agreement between ourselves and the shareholder. Is an issue shared that, and honorable members, that is linked to the issue of an audit in terms of do you sign MOU? It becomes a direct transfer. It's one thing that we're sorting up. There's a linkage there in terms of signing those MOUs. The next one is about the two management plans we want to produce for Garden Route and Mapungubwe. In quarter one, we, in developing the objectives with stakeholders, it went well. But quarter two, when we started now to do what we call low-level plans, there were delays, especially in the Garden Route area. It includes Wilderness, Naizna, and Tsitsikamma. What we have observed in most peri-urban parks, stakeholders are too vocal there. Now they slow you down in terms of what needs to be in the plan. Therefore, the Garden Route delayed us a bit there. In terms of elephant poaching reduction, we see a switch here, honorable members, especially from the eastern boundary in Mozambique, even from the west. They are now targeting elephants. Even yesterday, there was a conduct, and then there were arrests of about five poachers who had killed an elephant. Therefore, there's a switch now towards poaching elephants. That's why you see red there. In terms of, we do have a couple of plans in terms of species like rhino management plan, elephant management plan. You can see on the rhino plan, we've developed the deliverables of activities. We want every quarter to implement every component of what is in the plan. In quarter two, we're able to implement 89% of the deliverables that are in the plan, because every quarter I want to do all of them. The same with elephants. You can see we want to implement 100%. We did only 62.5% of the planned quarterly activities around issues of elephant poaching. When you move to other plans, honorable members, there was one on wildlife utilization. In quarter one, we were able to meet in terms of consultation, in terms of that plan. But quarter two was the time of implementing what is contained in the utilization strategy. We have achieved the 82.4%. On the cultural heritage, we did well on quarter one, but on quarter two we did 80% of activities that were we plan to implement. If we move to total visitors to parks, you can see, members, there's a decrease. In quarter one, there was a 7.7% decrease. quarter two, 4.4% decrease. What we have observed when we try to check what are the reasons, they are global trends that are impacting on this, also at national. The projection is that travelers and international travelers and tourists, there's a projection of slowness in 2018 as compared to 2017. They say it's due to the oil price. It's one thing that we need also to engage SA Tourism to see if it's indeed, these are the trends that we are seeing, but there's a slight decline. But they say it might pick up in the last quarter in terms of travelers. On the black visitors, we did well in quarter one. Quarter two, we see a decrease of 15.2%. Accommodation nights sold are linked to the number of tourists. Therefore, we saw in quarter two a tip 2.5 below what has been targeted. If we move to transformation strategy, as I indicated, honourable members, that this is a very ambitious, inclusive transformation strategy, starting from procurement, human resources, training, capacity building. It is very ambitious. Our plan, we thought that by quarter two, we will have awarded the tender to the preferred bidder. It's not the case, because in developing terms of reference themselves, we need to consult all our managers, because they'll be the ones implementing the strategy. Therefore, the terms of reference, we've done groups in consultation. We spend more time developing them because we want to make sure that staff are comfortable. I think we misjudge here the workload associated with these terms of reference. When it comes to wildlife economy, the plan was to make sure that all prospective entities or communities, there's some element of capacity. Therefore, there were projects we identified there. You see Cielo, because of the slowness in terms of people coming on board on certain projects that we've identified. We are doing this to avoid some failures. For sometimes we implement a project, communities are not on board because of the state of readiness. On the number of social legacy projects within our science labs that we build in schools, we have seen a slight trend in the last 2 years because we've been implementing this, whereby when we visited the science labs, we realized that the state of maintenance is not the same. Therefore, what we are doing now, in terms of our tendering process, we want to make sure that there's an element of aftercare so that they don't collapse these laboratories. In environmental education, we have developed a very strict system, honorable members, in terms of it's no longer now with papers, hard papers. They must punch it in a computer, in a spreadsheet, and then it's verified thoroughly. That's why you see that redness in that area. The free access, which is the National Parks Week, we see that in terms of what we have planned of 80,000 free entrants, we have done only 72, just above 74,000. There were poor weather conditions during that Parks Week, especially in the frontier region. I'm talking about the Garden Route area, wilderness, Ardo and mountain zebra. Therefore, there was poor attendance by the communities to enjoy the free entrance to the parks. On the issue of women as a percentage of management, we had an ambitious target of which Parliament allowed us to put a reasonable one. We had put 42% for the year. For quarter two, we put at 40%. We achieved 38.6% and 39.3% for quarter two. I was even saying, we say for perhaps it should have been amber. Therefore, the people were auditing us, they put it as red. But for me, the way I look, comparing to that dashboard of presidency, we should have been amber in that area. We are improving well there. Another red area, honourable members, is on debtors. We want to collect our money within 30 days. First quarter, it was 44 days. Second quarter, 35 days. As we indicated earlier, we do have some concessionaires who are not paying our money. And there are court cases, and we are reluctant to write those off. Therefore, we'll keep pursuing them, collecting the money we deserve. On the creditors, there were delays in the payment of projects in the quarter two that we are reporting. On fundraising, all members, we again is one area we need to improve. We have appointed now a fundraising manager at last. And then he has been given strict targets, but didn't have a fundraiser. But we're all attempting to make sure that we do fundraise. Now the person is on board, is trying now to develop strategies whereby there will be an element of deployment of senior managers to address different gatherings of potential donors and the entrepreneurs. At a high level, next slide, you can see one of the numbers there, which has bulleted what has not been achieved. Financials are part of that. CFO will talk to that just now. Another highlight was around the issue of marine protected areas. I remember Honorable Makubele was asking us why there's no target, why activities, why contributing. We're happy to say in our contribution, I'm told that the cabinet approved MPAs. Perhaps DIA will come and present those. We've contributed a lot. The next step perhaps is DIA assigning management authorities as long as they give us money if they appoint sandbox.
Contributed a lot meaning how did you contribute?
Chair, in most of our coastal parks, because land and the ocean is one system, what we understand about pressure of communities like in Tsitsikamma for fishing, we'll contribute what type of regulatory framework that needs to be there. When it comes to the Ado area, we know the issues of poaching of abalone. We'll also suggest a legislative framework for enforcement. Those are the type of things we're looking at here. Our scientists working with in the Pakisa programs. Those are some examples I want to...
No, I thought you were talking about something that has already happened. I thought you said we have contributed.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
In terms of the type of regulatory framework, the type of permitting system, and also the type of poaching hotspots, so that the plan that will be developed will be able to look at those issues.
All right. No, it's fine. I wanted to understand how did you contribute, because they were approved, I think 20 of them, eh?
Yes, sir.
So I thought you'll say this is how we contributed, but it looks like you're talking about the future.
No, Chair, we talk about now. Let me give some example, Chair.
Okay, let's leave that and then let's proceed.
Okay.
With it. Yeah.
Okay. Chair,
we'll discuss that when you get a briefing on those marine protected areas.
The issue of rhino poaching, Chair, was like turning the tide. I think what is working there is the investment on technology and the early detection. Elephants are a big concern. I will leave it there, Chairperson. In terms of overall improvement, achievement, 69%, 11% in progress, and 20% in not achieved. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to the CFO, Chair.
CFO?
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good evening, Honorable Members. Thank you once again for the opportunity to present to the Portfolio Committee. I'll start with balance sheet in that slide. If you look at the statement of financial position, starting with big items, cash and equivalent, it's sitting at 1.7 billion. It's slightly lower than what you see at the end of March, which was the end of the financial year, and the reason for that is what the CE has indicated, the drop in numbers of the visitors, which have a direct impact on the revenue collected. So you can see that it has now affected our cash resources, even though we are still sitting financially healthy at 1.7 billion cash resources in at our bank account. Our non-current assets, they are growing. As you can see, they have moved from 2 billion in terms of property, plant and equipment, 2 billion and 75 million to about 2 billion 131 million. All the other items, they remain the same, which is a heritage asset as well as the other financial asset. We also been paying some of our liabilities, Honorable Chair, as it's indicated that our other financial liabilities have actually decreased by 50% from 50 million to about 25.4 million. And so is finance lease obligation, which has dropped from 240 million to about 214. We're also pleased to indicate that there's some movement in our unspent projects, which have actually moved from 814 million to about 696 million. So we're trying to push as much as we can, even though the government procurement processes are a bit slow. In terms of the reservation deposit, we are pleased that it also has dropped from 353. As people are booking in our park, we're now moving that from liabilities but to revenue being realized in the current financial year. In moving to our income statement, our revenue is currently sitting at over a billion in terms of the cash that, in terms of the revenue that is generated by the organization. This is all your tourism income, retail, concession, and others, sitting at 980 million, and moving down to interest and royalties received, which is about 31.3 million. The grant that has been received from Environmental Affairs is about 261, which signifies almost half of what we've received. So we're still on track with regards, which is now taking our revenue to almost 1.3 billion at half year. Our employee cost is still on track, and all our services are on track. The only thing that concerns us is repairs and maintenance. We'd like to have spent a little bit more than where we are, which is 49 million. But again, we have issues of procurement process and sometimes staff capacities, which really prevent us from accelerating maintenance as we would like to do. We are pleased, Chair, that despite all the challenges that we have in terms of growth in revenue as well as visitors coming to our park, but we still maintain an operating surplus of about 139 million. If we intensify our effort of making sure that we increase our revenue, and I mean, as I speak, there's a team of Sunpark that is currently with Minister in London trying to lure visitors into the country and encouraging people, and we'll be embarking more of those kind of campaign as possible as we can so that we can encourage people to visit our shore and see our national assets. Perhaps maybe even that bottom line can look even much better than what currently is. Moving to cash flow statement, as I've indicated, if you look at the cash equivalent that they're currently at 30 September, you will see that we've actually dropped from previous year by 74.8 million. It's those reasons that I've cited, that it's low visitors coming to our environment as well as making payment to most of our liabilities. You will see that the current key indicators, they actually look very good, but would like to improve them for the better in the new financial year. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. We have distributed the report, members, the draft report of the colloquium. There's been some slight adjustment, especially on the proposed resolution of the committee. There's only three resolutions there that are proposed. But in the main, the body of the report remains the same. We have received some inputs from Shoni from the department. And I was speaking to Doc. he says that he has incorporated that.
Just minor ones. We agree now to rectify.
Okay. Okay. So most of the comments that were coming from Shoni, all of them have been accepted into the report. I understand that there's some few ones that have been added now which are going to be accepted. I want members also to look into that so that we can also, as we discuss the report, we can also discuss this one as well. Make comments if you are happy. We adopt the report. This report has been long, outstanding. You know, we did this two-day colloquium, which was excellent. Everybody was happy. Industry people were there. Everybody is asking for the report, and we are sitting with the report here. So I want us to finalize it today. I know Honorable Peden was saying that this is a new report, but actually it is not. It's almost the same thing, just that it has changed here and there, but those are just cosmetic changes. So we will talk to all three of them. We'll ask questions on SOS, on SANParks, and then we'll also make comments on the report, because I want us, as we rise here, to now deal with all three of them. Honorable Peder?
Just on the report, we can't take it further yet today. As much as I'll share your frustration, but this is the first time we've seen this one. There's substantial changes. I've just seen it hit my desk now this evening, and I'd like to suggest that we're coming back at 12 o'clock on Thursday. Can we not apply our minds and discuss that when we come back on Thursday? I believe we've got a 12 o'clock meeting on Thursday. So I'd like to suggest we leave that, we shelve it for 2 days to give us time to study it. There are substantial changes here, and I'd like to apply my mind. It's not fair on a committee to get the change report as you walk into a meeting. So that's my suggestion.
Okay. Let's get other comments and questions. Remember, we're talking to even these presentations that we've received. Okay. All right. Honorable Peden?
No, I only have one question. That is to SANParks. I'm disturbed to see the elephant figures. Is that only Kruger, or is it affecting other parks, such as Addo Elephant? So maybe we can just get a bit of more detail on the elephant situation.
Okay, Stenkamp.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I would like to concur with Honourable Purden with regard to the report. I've also scanned through it, and I will most definitely not be putting my name next to it without having read and had time to read the full report. My question is similar as well. It's also on slide 12 to SANParks. I'm quite concerned that the committee has been mentioning and asking SANParks for their plans and ideas, etc., for a proactive approach towards elephant poaching. We've also been warning that there's a tendency, you know, it's coming lower down into Africa, et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to add on to Honourable Purden's question. I'd like to know in detail which parks, how many number, you know, how many in numbers. And then I'd like to emphatically state that this is going exactly the way the rhino poaching issue has gone. Let's not pussyfoot around the issue. Everybody was forewarned about the rhinos, nothing proactively done, and look where we're sitting now. I'd like to know exactly in detail what SANParks did to be proactive in their approach to reduce the percentage. I think it said 2%, if I remember correctly, which is 0.5% reduction per quarter. The real-life situation is that we had a 37.5% increase. So technically, if you then go look at it, it's basically a 39% increase. I'd like to know what the plan is going forward. I'd also like to know what you have done before so that we can do exactly the opposite because it's not working. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Kikala.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. My need is both two presentation. First is weather. My question is for weather. How long into the future can the South African Weather Service make weather prediction into the future? The second question, does source predict the droughts that are regularly have? That's the second question of weather. And the other question for Sanparks, how many of Sanparks staff have been arrested for rhino poaching since 2008? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dr. Liang.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. to source, can you please maybe indicate as to whether there is involvement of the public as part of your stakeholders in execution of your duty? And if that is not the case, are you not contemplating to make sure that you reach out to the public for maximum participation and empowerment around the issues of source? Are you fine with your staff establishment filling of vacancies? Do you have vacancies, or the staff establishment that you have is commensurate with the funding that you have? To Sanparks, CEO, you spoke on the collection of your revenue collection, which you targeted 30 days, but you are exceeding 10 days. Now, in terms of your payment cycle now to your creditors this time around, do you meet that 30 days to pay your service providers? If that that is not the case, how do you make sure that in your activities there is a transformation that seeks to ensure that there you have your stakeholders, especially from the poor masses?
Just
three things. The first, Chair, with just welcome the reports from Source and Sanparks, but at the same time raising a concern that both of them have got a lot of rats, a lot of targets that have not been achieved. It's a concern. I just hope that when you come to report for the third quarter, there will be much improvement on both the entities. Because otherwise, this becomes the trend, it means we are heading for trouble by the end of the fourth quarter. The second, from Sanparks, just to check whether we may not be having enough time, but whether the advice that you got from the AG in terms of the black visitors, are you working on it, or are you just continuing as is? I remember Chair was saying there's need to reconcile that with the expectation from the AG, so that you report to us what the AG as well expects and so on. The last part, on the elephant poaching, perhaps what we need, because It's like you are equally shocked. You never thought it will be like this or change to this point. Perhaps when you come for the third quarter report, we may need a fully-fledged strategy that talks to the elephant. We have been receiving that of rhinos all along. Perhaps it's time we elevate this one to rhino poaching levels as well, so that we receive both of emphasis in terms of reporting, so that it's comprehensive. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, maybe just to add from my side on Sandparks. This morning, Dia was telling us that there isn't any reporting on the EPWP. Why is that the case, and what do you intend to do about that, seeing that we want to comply with the modified cash standards? The second one, we had resolved both at the colloquium and even after that, that the hunting in the western boundary by the private reserve, that has to be regulated. There must be a new agreement that must be negotiated and signed. And we're told that that agreement is almost nearing completion, is going to be signed, and we asked for it to be sent to us. It has not been sent up to today. Maybe you must first tell us why didn't you send that agreement, if that agreement indeed is existing, or a report as to how far you are in terms of that discussion. That is for Sandparks. Source. That triple P in terms of the land that you want to utilize as a triple P, I noticed that that indicator has been there for a while, and it is, there doesn't seem to be any movement around it. What is the plan? Do you still intend to keep that? Because it comes from a long way. We understand that there has been discussion with National Treasury and with all the other relevant people. But I see you're still raising the issue about funding. What is the ultimate end game around that land? And what would be the relationship between what you intend to do there and the fact that you have just moved into a new place now? And what are the contractual arrangements? For how long are you going to be in this new place? Because you can't suddenly move. If you have to develop that, there must be a vision as to over what period of time and so forth. So if you can just talk to that. Can we start with the...
I wanted to comment as well on the report, either now or later, before you conclude on it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Honorable Peden says he's just received it now, and so yeah. Maybe let's just move it.
Yeah, I wanted to say perhaps it will do no harm, Chair.
Let's move it.
You can agree.
Yeah, if some members are not comfortable, we can move it to Thursday. But I can guarantee you there's not much substantial difference except on the three recommended resolution. But let's move it to Thursday so that members can read through the report. Source, is the chair, the deputy chair, the acting CEO? Acting CEO, maybe just... speak to those that you can speak to, and if there's anything from the chair or the deputy chair, they will just add.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start with Honorable Kekana. How long into the future can we predict? The weather we can predict up to 2 years. I mean, up to two weeks. I'm sorry, up to 2 weeks, members. So that is deterministic. That means we can give you the weather, the rain, the temperatures, the wind speed and direction for that period, up to 2 weeks. Then that you can use for traveling if you plan to travel. And also to a minimum extent for agricultural purposes, and also to have an idea if there are advisories for potential severe weather. And then for months, up to 3 months at this stage, is your seasonal forecast, which is probabilistic. We give you a probability of it happening. So the higher is the confidence, the higher is the percentage. So normally from 60% upwards, the confidence is high. This is more useful for agricultural purposes. For example, during your El Nino period, which we've got high confidence when you predict that, you know that that season, if you're in the summer and fall area for most of us in South Africa are, then you can plan to budget for Lucerne, for example, because we might realize some droughts. And then we can predict 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. But those are the climate projections. For example, now we are expecting a long period of droughts. But when the rain comes, they will come late and then for a short duration. So that has got impact now on, for example, type of crops that can withstand such changes. We can also see that the grazing lands, they are decreasing in the country, and then we expect them to decrease with time. So these are kind of projections that we can use for water management. Like now we can plan for more groundwater, for example, and then for agriculture, what type of crops, what type of livestock can resist the conditions we expect.
Okay, be mindful of time.
And then I'm apologies, Chair.
Yeah. I see you're getting into a workshop now.
Apologies.
You're in a workshop mode.
And then, Honorable Luyenga, in terms of maximizing public participation, maximizing the participation, that is where we need to improve. We started 2 years ago to go to the communities, but then the budget limited us now. We decreased a bit, but we have just developed an integrated service strategy, which is also encouraging us now to do that again. So we're planning to enhance that because it's very important. It's also about enabling people to be able to interpret the information so that they can apply it appropriately. In terms of the vacancies, as staff component, I think for the core business, yes, we are there given what is available, but there is a room. But in terms of these skills, there's scarcity country-wise. So vacancies, we are filling them, but the key vacancy now that we need to fill is the executive for weather and climate service, which is the core, includes all the services of the core business. And then, Honorable Makubela, there are lots of, yes, I agree. Quarter three, we have got a recovery plan we want to improve significantly. We agree with you. And then, in terms of the Triple P, I'll give over to CFO.
Thanks, Chair. I think with regards to the PPP, the current lease with the new office is for 5 years. So the plan was that we'll move into the leased premises and then develop the land, and hopefully within the 5 years we'll be able to move to the Waterkloof land. There have been delays, though, with the Triple P. Mainly is due to the funding. We were at a stage where we are ready to appoint a transaction advisor. At the time, I think the estimated cost for the transaction advisor over the four-year period was about $80 million. And due to the fact that we do not have those funding, we could not appoint. We are in a currently, we have discussions with Treasury and with the Department as well. But I think the biggest hurdle is the availability of the budget. So we'll have to really try and source funding so that we'll be able to develop the PPP. So as it is now, it doesn't look like we'll be able to move to the new premises after the 5 years for the lease. So we may probably have to extend or get other premises for the office space after the 5 year period. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Parting shots, Chair, briefly, do you want to say anything or you're fine?
I think they've covered the stuff they didn't need to cover, unless there's anything specific.
All right. Okay, we did receive your letter about the discussion we had the last time about the CEO. I got the letter. I don't know whether the members have received it. All right, we'll just distribute to the members. St. Parks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members, for the questions. I would like to cover, Chair, Honorable Patin question, Honorable Steenkamp, and Honorable Makumele in one on elephants. They asked about them. Chair, yes, it's a concern. Fortunately, for other parks, there are no elephant poaching as yet. We have them in Ado, in Marakele, in Mapungubwe. There has been attempts, of course. It's West Mapungubwe. It's bordering Zimbabwe and Botswana. When it comes to Kruger, due to the size and the area coverage, this thing is coming mostly from the north of Kruger. As a result, although we can do the full presentation, Honorable Chair, as a result, we are now soon, I think next month, establishing a new hangar where we can station a helicopter in Palaborwa. Because in most cases, when there's a problem, you need to take a helicopter from Skukuza, flying all the way up. It takes you about 45 minutes. Now we'll be establishing a hangar in Palaborwa, and also having one of the Bandam planes, which has been sponsored, will be getting receiving of it. We can cover the north. And also we've moved some rangers to the north of the park. The challenge, because it's crime, we concentrated our effort to have limited rangers in the south, in the IPZ, because we broke in the south where most rhinos are, into IPZ, JPZ, and CPZ, so that we can be able to contain the poaching. Now things are happening in the north. We're trying to move more manpower and equipment there. The other question was, Honorable Kekana, for staff arrested, I was trying to SMS to check the accurate figures. But I know in the last 2 years, we were standing in 23, but you were asking since 2008. I think we'll have to get that data and submit. Not only our staff, there are subs members, there were few from defense. Honorable Yenge, I will see FO will talk about revenue collection and creditors and also our supplier enterprise development program that you asked about. We are busy with that program as we speak. He'll talk to that. Honorable Makubele, on the reds and yellows, normally we meet every quarter. After quarter, we'll tell what has gone wrong in the previous quarter. You will see an element of improvement, and then there's a tendency of picking up around the second quarter because people start to understand what problems are we experiencing. Therefore, we are hoping when we come back in the third quarter and fourth quarter, there will be a great improvement. The on black visitors, I think we articulated how we differ with our AG, of which we respect their finding. One area is that we said to them, our descriptor indicator is on observation, a 10% margin of error. For them, they are still looking for source documents. We can't produce that. Therefore, since we're still reporting to the APP of this year, in the new APP, that indicator will drop down to our normal report. Therefore, we won't have this because it's the second year they do the same finding. They've been getting the same explanation to us, for they want to see the actual source documents. Honorable Chair, you asked about EPWB reporting. I will request the CFO to assist me. As a result, Chair, after listening to this morning's engagement and questions, we did produce a short presentation. If there were time, we're going to take the Parliament through in responding to that issue. But at a higher level, DEA want us to account. AG does not want us to account. Now there are two structures we should be respecting, because we received an unqualified audit from AG on the same matter. Therefore, Chairperson, I think that discussion between AG and DEA needs to happen tomorrow. After my consultation, I'm meeting AG with the CFO to discuss the same issue, because at some point there has to be an agreement between DEA and AG on how we account for this. Once that instruction is clear, Chairperson, we will comply. But for now, we're still using the template given to us. We give the information to DEA, they account for it. But AG, they said, were correct. Therefore, Chair, we need to clarify that. CFO will talk in that detail. Lastly, Chairperson, the report on the western boundary. We did say last time, I met with all the stakeholders. We agreed to sign 1st of December. That date still stands. I was checking, Chair, now, because the report, I was away last week in Kigali. The report, I did look at it. It was too thick. I asked them to cut it down. But they're saying it will be in my desk tomorrow. It has to be queried, because there are lots and lots of documents. Therefore, Chairperson, will query the report to you. It has been compiled. I asked them that to reduce the volumes of papers. Therefore, Chair, you will receive it.
We want to understand what are the key elements of what you are going to agree on. What is it going to be the responsibility of the private, those private nature reserves? What is going to be the responsibility of SANParks? What will be the benefits accruing to the communities there? So we want to understand those elements. We don't want the finer details as such. You don't have to come and bring the big bundle of agreement, because you can talk to it through slides and so forth. Because you are going ahead and signing, and we don't even know, and it's we who raise this concern, and we want to be satisfied that it has been adequately addressed.
Chair,
Chair,
it has got all of those elements. Elements of new entrants in terms of economic empowerment, it has got that. We discussed with them. There will be elements of transform their contribution, beneficiation. It will be that. There will be an element of regularizing what has been practiced in the last couple of years since that report was done. For example, Chair, the issue of census was an issue at hand. Now, it's not only us, SANParks, and the private owners. Limpopo government and Mpumalanga government, they need to come to the party in terms of reconciling
let's schedule that.
It will have all of those elements when it comes here.
Let's schedule that for a briefing.
Okay.
Sometime this month, we'll call you here to come in on that. Okay. CFO.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and honorable members, we appreciate all the questions that have been asked. Starting with the issue of the revenue, the debtors collection worries us. It's a serious concern to us, and we are putting pressure on our legal services to make sure that we're really getting those court cases resolved. The unfortunate part with the legal process is that you have to work with its processes. I mean, the court date, and sometimes, you know, the concessionaire, they will have gimmicks of having postponement, etc. Where some of them, they found to have been on the wrong side of the law, and they are required to pay, but you find that they don't have enough money to pay. There was one incident of a concessionaire whereby there was money available, but it has to go to preferred creditors. And for example, some of them, they did a franchise in Kruger, and they've actually financed certain asset with ABSA. So then ABSA becomes a preferred creditor over SunPark. Then you find that once it's been settled to them, there's nothing left for SunPark. And in cases like that, we have unfortunately write off, and there's a couple of them that we have written off. But those which we believe there's still money available for SunPark, we are pursuing them to the last part. In respect of the creditors' payment, there's two ways. On the normal creditors, which is trade creditors, we are paying them within 28 days, which is within the PFMA. But the creditors for projects, they are taking longer. And the reason for that is because sometimes there's dispute. If you find that a particular contractor has completed work, but then we send one of our quantity surveyors or engineers to actually assess the work done, and we find that there's defect, we're unable to pay. Then there's a process of asking for that particular work to be rectified before it can be paid. Then it pushes the payment period beyond 30 days. So those are the instances that you find that our creditors' payment cycle has now been affected by those instances. The honorable member also asked about enterprise development, which we are actually addressing in three parts. One, we're concerned that most of our suppliers, some of them, they get construction work within our parks to do different things, whether it's accommodation or building a road. But after they've actually accepted work, they can't complete it. And you find that you have to terminate that services in order to make sure that you appoint the new service providers and we're concerned. So what we've done now, we've actually went into a market on an expression of interest, asking for service providers to come up with an enterprise development program that will assist all our service providers. Our aim is to make sure that from the time we do a briefing session, there's a whole list of services that are available for enterprises. Anything from how do you structure actually your work, how do you actually maintain your finances, how do you obtain cash flow. So there's a little bit of hand-holding as part of that program. We want every supplier that we appoint to succeed and to make sure that they complete the work in which they are appointed for. So that expression of interest has been closed and we've assessed. We're now going to be going out on an RFP because we've now developed terms of reference with that kind of a response. We're hoping to appoint sooner so that we can get ahead with an enterprise development. On another end, we've actually partnered with FNB, which is our banker. They've actually developed an FNB business incubator, whereby we'll identify a number of suppliers who actually requires incubation for a number of months. It's about a seven-month program where they'll be taken through on all programs of how to manage business, but they will be allocated a mentor who actually help them on a real-life transaction and programs up until a particular point in time. We want to see them growing from small business to even bigger corporates. So FNB is doing that for free of charge,
they are allocating mentors, they are allocating material. They will make sure that in every park, starting with Kruger suppliers, make sure that they are developed. On the third end, we have signed an MOU with National Empowerment Fund. We want to develop also a partnership whereby if somebody has been appointed to do a particular work, and I'm going to use an example of a construction, make sure that there's a readily available finances for those people, because they've actually been vetted. And in fact, they won't be subject to that strict requirement that will be available to everybody else, because they are already within the SANFAPARK family. So National Empowerment Fund will make sure that there's financial resources available so that those people can be able to complete work at a particular stage up until they're able to pay. Because some of these enterprises, they have the skills, they have the passion, but they don't have financial resources to do work. So that's the three way in which we're approaching this enterprise development. Then there was a question which has been asked by Honorable Chair with regards to the accounting treatment. I just want to try to run it quickly as much as I can, Chair. It's supposed to take more than what I will. The funding that we're receiving from Department of Environmental Affairs in terms of 427, it provides from the beginning with a contractual agreement. So that contractual agreement, it's separated from a normal transfer. And the reason for that, because there's a requirement, so there's conditions that are attached to it. We have to submit business plan. We have to include certain things into our IPP. We must submit a detailed monthly report. We must make sure that in terms of what DR requires, there are certain templates and reports which they require from SANFAPARK, which we have to actually submit annually. And more recently, they want it on an interim basis. That particular contract is also allowed for a percentage of a program as a management fee. And we also have to open separate bank account for certain projects. Also, DR decides at the end of the project what will happen to the asset that has been acquired as part of the project. They also decide on the interest that has been generated, whether it can be kept by SANFAPARK or it can be returned back to the department. Now, all of that, it makes the Auditor General look at that arrangement as a principal agent, which means SANFAPARK is implementing this particular project on behalf of the department. So therefore, SANFAPARK then need to disclose the management fee that it requires and receives as a revenue. However, the actual project money, we don't disclose it as a revenue. We disclose it as a liability. So in other words, this is the money that has been given by the department to us. It's got particular conditions.
Okay. So let's not get too detailed into that. I think as the CEO was proposing, you need to have a meeting with DR and the Auditor General, and then so that you can sort that one out. Because from the submission by the CFO of DR, other entities are reporting. It's only SANFAPARK that is not reporting. So we don't understand how are they reporting, what makes them to report, what makes SANFAPARK not to report. So, but those are the details that you can discuss in your own meeting.
Yeah. Can I just jump to the conclusion?
Yeah.
There was a point last year where Auditor General have withdrawn our report, which is the final audit report. And when we ask is that there were certain things that they wanted to check because they were auditing DR. It was almost a month. When they released the SANFAPARK report so that we can finalize our annual report, they then indicated that they are satisfied with the accounting framework that we follow. So the meeting that we've been having with DR, we've then realized that whatever DR requires us to do, it cannot be concluded by DR and SANFAPARK. It requires an Auditor General. So that whatever we're required to do, AG needs to confirm that we can follow that particular framework and we won't have problems. So that's the meeting
okay.
that we are having tomorrow,
yeah,
Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You see, the CFO of DR must have a regular session with CFOs of all the entities. Because these are entities that are in part of the family of DR. So that whatever that gets done in terms of reporting and accounting,
by one entity, it must be done by the rest of the entities. There mustn't be this one does this, this one does that, this one does that, and the AG also treats that differently. So I'll recommend CFO that you must have these regular sessions, probably quarterly, with all the CFOs, so that they don't have to submit reports. You look at the reports in your own office alone, but actually everybody else comes under one roof, discuss the challenges, we discuss the reporting, and in that meeting you can then call the representatives of the Auditor General. So you'll all be under one roof with the AG there discussing, because it's all about how you disclose, how you account on this expenditures, this money that you receive, because almost all the entities, I don't know what the source, but the other entities receive the same allocation for EPWP. Okay. I think what came out of the two presentations, what I could pick up is that there is a sort of a decline in revenue by both entities. On Sandparks, it's the visitor numbers that are coming down for whatever reason, but that also affects the projected income of Sandparks. On Source, the number of flights are getting fewer and so forth. It's very possible that this is as a result of the economic situation currently in the country. I mean, we've had the second negative growth for two quarters, which means that we had a technical recession in this financial year, and the cost of living is just going high and up and up and up and up. So it's very possible that very few people are traveling. They're visiting the parks because to visit, you know, you utilize your disposable income to go and do all of these things. So it might be attributable to that. Probably you might need to do some bit of work. But I guess you've looked at the areas where there's not been performance, and you'll improve on that. Hopefully when we come back with the third quarter, the situation would have improved. But otherwise, thank you very much for this engagement. The only thing that I think we should leave you with is that we are concerned about the Auditor General's outcome, especially as it relates to DIA. And if the entities must help, please help DIA to make sure that they then do the necessary reporting of these finances. Please, CFO, establish this forum of other CFOs and then have regular interactions, meet with them, and share good practices, share notes, matters of common interest, can discuss that. So we are done. The only report that we are supposed to get that we have run out of time now is the industry waste plans. So we will reschedule this. We will look at the date that is appropriate, because we can't do it tomorrow. I don't know what are the plans of the waste and chemicals branch people. But we'll come up with another date. Our apologies for keeping here the whole day without presenting. But we'll want to interact with this report. It's very, very important to us, the industry waste plans. But otherwise, thank you very much. will not finalize the report now of the colloquium. We'll deal with it on Thursday at 12. We'll be having a meeting just to deal with this report and to deal with the bills that we finalized this month, the NAMLA bill. Okay, thank you very much. I hope, Shoni, all the issues that you have raised have been properly incorporated into that report so that we don't have to have issues again. So just make sure between now and Thursday that everything else is fine. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. The meeting is adjourned.